Welcome to Transformative Taskmaster, where we drill down into the narrative. It's a podcast by fans, for fans, and about fans. My name is TK, which stands for Tiny Kitten, and I'll be your host. Every episode, we'll have a special guest on to talk about the finer details of Taskmaster and its fandom, focusing on a specific topic of conversation. We'll play some games, discuss Taskmaster current events, and give you some fan work recommendations at the end. We've just come back off the back of the Taskmaster Series 19 premiere in New York City, where Greg and Alex hosted a Q&A, did tons of interviews, and seemingly went on so many dates. They also shouted out 5 different fanfics on the Seth Meyers taping, so that was a thing that we were all completely normal about. Totally fun. Okay. Every episode, we'll have a special guest on to talk about the finer details of Taskmaster and its fandom. We'll really dig down into the narrative, as Greg likes to say, focusing on a specific topic of conversation. We'll play some games and discuss Taskmaster current events. For our pilot episode, I am delighted to introduce a staple of the fandom and a very dear personal friend of mine, Amanda!
Hello! Cheers. Greg was wild, Greg but was not really. Wild. Thank you.
Hi, TK. Thank you so much for my intro.
Yes, hey. You are so welcome, and thank you for being here as we figure out the ins and outs of the podcast world. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
All right, so the collective we... on our little, what should we call it, a group chat?
Sure. I've been like leaning towards like rating group or, you know, just fan forum that, you know, that works.
Fan forum. I like that.
Old school.
Yeah. So the collective we on our fan forum have been discussing creating this podcast for, it's only been what? Like a week or two at this point.
Yeah, I think it got mentioned before, but now it's serious.
Yeah, a bunch of us went to New York for the premiere, and very I think exciting. It kind of kickstarted this kind of want to expand our little fandom, as it were.
Very much so. Yeah.
So obviously, we have the official Taskmaster podcast with Ed Gamble, which is amazing.
It is.
Yes, they've just started season 2 of New Zealand, which I'm very excited about because that's one of the best seasons ever, according to the fan base, which is pretty exciting. We've also got the Taskmaster People's Podcast, which I believe is currently being hosted by Jenny Eclair and Jack Bernhardt.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like our little community specifically will go and listen to these podcasts and then we'll come back to our little group chat, as it were, and we'll be like, but they didn't talk about this, or they didn't talk about this, like that, why aren't we talking about the one thing that really stands out to me personally is how the editors edited out Nick's Dracula
Nick Mohammed. Oh my goodness, yeah, they went Dracula, well, he doesn't have a reflection, so like completely over the top. There was no reason for doing that. I don't think they even mention it anywhere. They're just like subtly.
Yeah, it was.
In every shot he's in.
And it was one of those things where once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing and incredible. And like every time, you know, somebody put a GIF set up on Tumblr, I was like, yes, reblog. This needs to be seen. People need to know about this.
There's someone out there putting their absolute heart and soul into doing this editing. And we see you. We thank you. This is delightful.
Yeah, especially with that mirror task. I can't imagine how much of a pain that must have been.
I think that might have been the origin of it. I think they might have been like, wait, we've got Dracula with a mirror? He shouldn't be in the mirror. And then someone went, guys.
You know what would be fun?
We got to go back. We got to fix it all.
Yes. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot of little tidbits like that that we as a collective group will notice and point out and then yell at each other that nobody else is yelling about it. And so this podcast kind of is a little bit for that. Mm-hmm. But we'll also have a little bit of a bunch of other things. We're going to have a regular segment on promoting fan works, which will include fanfic, fan art, fan fiction. Sorry for those.
Yes,
just call it fanfic. It's not
we're on first name terms with fanfic.
we really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll, you know, we'll play some games, we'll have some guests, it'll be interesting to talk about different aspects of the Taskmaster universe, the lore, the fan base, specifically. So that'll be really fun. Now, we were trying to come up with a title or a name for this podcast, and it was you, actually, who suggested Transformative Taskmaster.
Someone scrolled back and found me. Yeah,
actually, I did not scroll back. I just remembered that that was you, because I immediately was like, oh, that's perfect. And everybody was immediately like, yep, that's the name. That's going to be the name of it.
Yeah, Transformative Taskmaster.
Yes. So, Amanda, tell me why you... How did you come up with that, first of all? And then why do you think it fits so well with what we're trying to do here?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it was one of those spur-of-the-moment things, you know, so I hadn't been sat there racking my brain for like 10 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a case, you know, people were throwing out ideas. It was really, you know, flexible. People were just trying stuff out. But there was definitely this sense, like, everyone having, you know, this discussion about it being about the... like the extra added world on top of Taskmaster. It's not specifically the Taskmaster world itself, although absolutely it would include that, but it's like the things that then go beyond Taskmaster and bring it out into the world of the fans and what the fans have like turned it into. And so I think there's, you know, been a lot of talk about like transformative works being something that, you know, fan fiction and fan art and all the rest of it, you know, are considered like legally. And then who doesn't like alliteration? So Transformative Taskmaster, I threw it out there and, you know, I got some thumbs up. So that was nice.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. It was, for me, I think it's a little bit of a death of the author type thing where, you know, we, and I say a little bit of, because it's not completely, because obviously we love and respect and cherish the original, you know, content and everything, and that's what we're pulling from. But also the transformative bit makes it so that we can take what they've given us and make it our own thing. You know, regardless of whether that thing was what they intended to happen, etc. Especially because, you know, for a lot of us, there are so many what we think of as obvious things that Greg and Alex do that we're like, why would they do this? And then Greg is like, I don't know why they think we're like romantically involved. And we're like, you literally kissed him on stage. Like, what?
Yeah. I think probably like after every single like nugget and grain and crumb of content that we get from, you know, Taskmaster proper, all of us just like run back to discuss it, you know, in our little groups and be like going, why did they do this? What were they thinking? And half of our time is just trying to figure out, you know, what the intention was. And most of, like you said, death of the author, half the time it doesn't even matter what the intention was, because we're just playing with toys that they've given us. It's a toolbox. It's an absolute, you know, sandbox of mad, crazy canon and ideas and characters. And we just love playing in this, you know, box of toys that they just give us and keep giving us over and over again.
Yeah. And I think Alex in particular would really like your metaphor on playing with, just giving us toys to play with.
Yeah,
because it definitely, it very much feels like that. And I think that my thinking is that probably what happens, especially with Greg, I don't know how much Alex, you know, rewatches everything, you know, being an executive producer and has final say in the final edits and everything, but normally I think what happens is that they record the show and then never think about it again, you know, and like, because I imagine that's what happens, because they've been doing this for 10 years.
I think they forget a lot of what's going on, you know. Throw out a line, they throw out a look or an idea or a joke, and it's there in the moment and it's hilarious, and then they move on because they've got more jokes to make, you know.
Yeah And I think for us, the thing that separates us from them a little bit, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that do, but for this particular
example,
is that we will rewatch and we will pick apart and we will make GIF sets and we will make text posts and we will draw and we will write and we will sing sometimes.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and I think and personally, I think that if I watched an episode and then never thought about it again, like, of course, I'm not going to remember that one time that this one person said this one sentence, you know, that, and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember. So you and I were both lucky enough to go to New York City, which we'll talk about in more depth here in a little bit. But one of the things that that was funny to me was that during the Q&A with Greg and Alex, you know, some of the audience members would shout out some stuff. And one of the questions was like, do you have a favorite like quote that you quote from the show? And of course, we all have our favorite quote. We have a whole basket of quotes.
You can choose one. I mean,
yeah. And then, you know, so one person's shouting out like, bastards crying, isn't it? And Alex is, and Greg is like, oh, what did they say? And Alex is like, bitch is crying, isn't it? And we're like, no. That's not what it is. That is bastards crying. Come on, Alex. Like, you get it together.
And, I mean, he's so busy.
But even, you know, Greg has, I'm sure he has that all the time, but even when, you know, when Alex was like, well, you know, the fans will know that, you know, Lisa, and everyone goes nuts, and Greg is like, sorry, what did Lisa do? Like, we already know. You don't have to remind us that you sat on the cake. We all of us are already having your butt in our mental image sitting on the cake. Like, you don't have to explain this to us. But of course Greg doesn't remember that until Alex reminds him, and then he's like, oh yeah, I guess you did do that.
Yeah, it was incredible. I think there's almost like this privilege that fans have of, you know, being able to dig into it far more than, like, you know, the creators and the people who are on it ever do. In fact, if they did, it'd be kind of a little weird in a way, because they should be looking forward, whereas we get to see it, revisit it. Like, perhaps only the editors and you know, the fans have analyzed each individual frame as much as, you know, anyone else. But I think it's definitely like people like Alex who knew it a lot, you know, now share this language with the fans, where he can say there was this moment with Lisa, and all of the crazy fans in the audience, of which I'm proud to, you know, hold my hand up and say I'm one of, immediately know what he's talking about. He doesn't need to keep saying it. We share that, you know, that piece of information. There's now a shorthand between us. He can mention offhand things, and we're like, we know exactly. And we share that between the fans as well. Like, in our, you know, in our chats, on our forums, in our, you know, Tumblrs, whatever it is, someone can just be like, I'm feeling, you know, very Lisa Tarbuck today. And, you know, people are, you know, throwing their hands in the air going, oh, good God, what does that mean? That could mean all of these different things. You know, we have this shared language like any subculture ends up having. And I think the Taskmaster fandom, like many fandoms, is a subculture that shares a language, shares all of this knowledge. And as you, you know, as you get new fans to a fandom, they're kind of introduced to all of these secret meanings and languages and shortcuts and, you know, nods of the head and little insights that we all share.
Yeah, and I think the thing that is interesting about Taskmaster specifically, and this is one of the things that I do want to kind of continuously bring up as part of the podcast, is that I feel like Greg and Alex do this thing where they want to create these in-jokes with their fans. Like, they actively do it.
Seems very much like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really nice feeling to be kind of perceived, as we call it, which we'll talk about later.
If I can, like, bring that even further, it's like, looking at the structure of, you know, a Taskmaster episode, it really shouldn't be generating this amount of, you know, this fandom and this investment and, you know, dedication to the lore. I'm putting, you know, bunny ears in the air here, but, like, it could have been exactly straight up. People come in, they do their tasks, a man judges them, and they go home. But that is not how it ends up, because of Greg and Alex and the relationship that they play out on stage and how they bring the contestants in during the tasks and during, you know, the studio tapings. It becomes this complicated, ongoing, almost pseudo storyline that people who watch it and watch series to series can get invested in. Whereas if you were comparing it to something like Countdown, you know, there isn't really, you know, that kind of angle to it where people are creating a pseudo storyline that goes through the background.
Mm-hmm. And what a storyline we get with Tenser. I mean, the canon lore, as we call it, is just ridiculous.
Mm. And it makes no sense within itself, which is fascinating, aggravating, perfect and wonderful.
Yeah.
And it contradicts itself constantly. Mm-hmm. Greg and Alex don't seem to behold themselves to any kind of consistency. If they find something funny in the moment that suits their characters, then they will run with it, because the characters seem to be the thing that absolutely holds everything. The character that Alex plays and the character that Greg plays, those are what's true in an episode of Taskmaster, and that's what carries through the whole thing, it seems.
Yeah. Talking about that, I think it'll be interesting at some point in the future of this podcast to talk about the interstitials and how Greg and Alex used to be like creating their own little clips for those.
Yes.
And in the, I mean, I don't off the top of my head know which season or which series they stopped doing that in. Mm. But, you know, now it's just kind of Alex doing, holding up two fingers and holding up three fingers, but he's riding a roller coaster for some reason. Like, who knows why? but definitely seem to originate with a lot of kind of lore of like, why is Alex like massaging Greg's feet? Or no, he's clipping his toenails with hedge clippers. And it's like, what is, was that necessary? No. Did we absolutely love it? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know that one of my favorite ones is the advert for, I think, season 10, where they were moving over to Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Greg sat in his glorious chair while Alex hustles around in the background of their quite physically impossible, like Escher-inspired mansion, which is supposed to be, you know, one of their many homes, or one of Greg's many homes, of course.
Right.
And then Greg opens a door. It seems that there's a room full of Alex's with a sign on it saying, do not feed. And he goes, whoops, wrong door, closes it and moves on. And they never mention it again. And we're just sat there going, what just happened? This is what? So, yeah, delightful little, they'll just, it's like someone who's addicted to throwing out plot hooks. And they're just going, here, have loads of funny things to run with. Mm-hmm. We're not going to keep track of them. And we as the fandom try to. We're just running behind them, picking up all of these mad little things that they've given us and going, this is fun. I can do something with this.
Oh, yeah. I feel like a raccoon rummaging. Hi, podcast cat.
Gorgeous. Hello.
Stop. I feel like a raccoon rummaging through the garbage a lot of the time because, you know, Alex will just throw out his trash, and then I'll come around with my little grubby raccoon paws and pick it up and sniff it and be like, oh, I can make something out of this. This is
tasty.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, with the whatever we want to call it, the clone door or the clone room, especially, I know has, I need to look up some stats before I start talking about this kind of stuff, but you know, a fair amount of fanfics, you know, just about the clones idea themselves.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, incredible how something that's what, 10 seconds long, not even,
if that,
you know, can be turned into thousands of words by dozens of different people. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Really.
And again, to like reiterate, they never mention it again. It's not a focus event. This is a, you know, a show where they invite five comics on, do some silly tasks and send them home again. None of this is necessary.
No, it's really not.
It's just delightful little nonsense bits that they just throw out. And, you know, these interstitials that you're talking about, the ads that they do, the banter sections, you know, at the top of an episode, just little through, the throwing to ads sections that apparently Greg is the one that writes, often have these little moments of like insight into the relationship between the taskmaster and the assistant.
Yeah.
And nobody's telling them they need to do this. They're just like, this is fun to us. We're going to make up this whole backstory that doesn't make sense, and you know, enjoy it or don't. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one thing that I really, really love about our fandom is that we can pick up this tiny speck of dust that they throw us and yeah. turn it into
crumbs.
This 40,000 word, you know.
Yep. Yep.
It's just incredible that we get such inspiration from the tiniest little things, but it really is very fun.
And I think as well that the fact that the, you know, the so-called canon is inconsistent with itself and doesn't actually make sense means that there's a lot of freedom to just make shit up, you know, because that's what they do. It's like someone can't sit there, push their glasses up into their nose and go, actually, you'll find that that contradicts this bit here. And it's like, doesn't matter, it contradicts itself.
Yeah.
So you have a lot more freedom as long as, to a certain extent, you keep a core of the character that Alex plays and the character that Greg plays, mm-hmm. you know, true in whatever story or piece of fan art or, you know, fan content that you're making.
Yeah.
You can do whatever the hell you want because Greg and Alex are out there doing the same thing.
Yeah, and it's really nice too because they do give us multiple layers because not only
I love you, podcast cat.
She's like, what if I bit the microphone? What if you didn't do that? Because they give us the Taskmaster and his assistant. So that's layer one. On top of that, we have Greg and Alex in the studio, which is layer two, which is almost the same thing, but not quite. And then we have Greg and Alex as Greg is the Taskmaster in this show and Alex is the executive producer of this show.
Yes.
Which is another, and then we have Greg and Alex outliving their own lives.
Yeah, and the delightful, sometimes fascinating, and I do think that this was the thing that actually drew me into the, you know, the fandom itself, was that the lines between these different layers, like the lines between the assistant and Alex Horn, the executive, and Alex Horn, who's just mucking around as a comic on stage as a real human being, can blur and flip-flop between any and all of these in the space of the same sentence. Like, excuse me, Alex can be saying something about, you know, living in our lovely house together, which is the assistant talking about the canon world where he is pretty much the live-in slave of the almighty Taskmaster. And then in the same sentence, he's all of a sudden talking about how Greg needs to change, you know, do the points right, or, you know, that they'll have to cut this bit or something like that, because he's actually the man who's ostensibly in charge of the whole show. He made it. He's one of the executive producers. He has phenomenal power within, you know, the bounds of this show. And yet he's playing this character who's just a little toady weasel guy who's just like the lowest of the, he's the carpet snake. He's like absolute scum. And Greg is almighty, all powerful. And
yeah,
he'll literally do it in the same sentence or the same breath. And it's fascinating to watch. And
it really is.
Trying to follow it puts all new wrinkles in my head. It's just it's just delightful to watch.
Yeah, and even with his other stuff, like I didn't get into the Horn section until after I had watched a lot of Taskmaster.
Same.
And even then, like with the Horn section TV show, you know, he's like, Alex is the leader. It's called the Horn section. It is his band.
Yeah.
Literally, it is his band. Like, he is the front man of the band. He is in charge of the band. Like, all of the decisions that he makes for the band are essentially his final call to make. And he chose in the Horn Section TV show to be like, but what if Greg came in and was like, I'm gonna steal your band and undermine you? And I'm just like, why do you do this? I mean, it's fascinating and it's so interesting and it's hilarious, but like, what motivates you to write these storylines?
The Horn section existed completely separately as, you know, the thing that Alex loves doing with, you know, childhood friends and other people he's, you know, and his whole comedy jazz band, and he goes on tours and the whole thing, and he's like the front man who can't sing, and that's delightful. And he didn't need to have like the very intro to the Horn section TV show being Alex Horn, the toady, you know, who obeys all that, you know, mighty Greg the Taskmaster does, in the studio being bullied around and told to go and get sandwiches and all the rest of it. He didn't have to include that. And then having go to his, you know, temporary changing room or something like that, tear off his Taskmaster suit to reveal his horn section, you know, costume underneath it, with the horn section around him going, sorry, Alex. Didn't need to do that, but he topped and tailed the whole series with this framing device of the character who's at the front of the horn section band is also the toady guy who works for Greg in the Taskmaster show, but not the canon version of the assistant who lives in the mansions,
right, you
know, and gets tied up before he goes to sleep at night, or with bells or whatever the
heck. Because the assistant doesn't have his own band, except for when he's in the studio sitting next to Greg, and Greg brings it up like the one time. You know,
it's just amazing. It's another layer, and Alex has been like, no, but what if I just massively expand this element of the canon to include an entire other area with a whole plot line and storyline? And, you know, Alex's character in that is so beaten down and sad. And the whole, you know, series one is just about him being sad guy who can't figure out how to get his life in order and all the rest of it. And he's just like, what if I was wet? What if just constantly I was the wet guy? What if just that? I just played that. Would that be fun? And he's supposed to be like the cool guy, the front guy of a band, and he dodges that role and just goes, no, I'm going to be the saddest wet puppy that there has ever been. There's like whole scenes where he's just left alone, all on his own, in a, you know, robe and slippers, clicking away at a laptop, being sad and looking through old photographs of his, you know, his friends, the band, and he's just like, You're literally doing this to yourself. What's you going
are. On? I mean, you've got to think it must be a ton of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, much fun to mess with the narrative like that.
If I can, like, reference a thing that I've mucked around with myself, I went and did, an improv class. And one of the things, and I did this in Los Angeles, of all places. So there was, like, six classes and all the rest of it. And you'd wander on to, you know, the stage and then try and give someone a clue as to, you know, what setting you were doing your scene in and what character you were doing and all the rest of it. And one of the things that popped out is that I would end up picking the low status character to play. So I would come in and be like, oh, professor, can you help me do this thing or whatever it was? And people would be like, oh, yes, I'm the professor. I'm going to wander in and start this scene and do all the whole of the thing. And it's a strange thing because most of our class would not pick the low status role in any scene. And people pointed out that's something that Amanda does. And I was the only Brit in the room, and I'm wondering, is this a Britcom thing? Is this, because, you know, people have talked about the difference between British and American, you know, comedy, and obviously massive overlaps everywhere, but just generally, it seems, you know, people have talked about this in the past, that British comedians like going, oh, I'm such a sad guy, look at me, I'm what a shame, I'm trying my hardest, but I'm just getting beaten down.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the American, you know, typical comedy is like going, I'm such a cool guy, I'm going to be in charge of everything, I'm going to poke, you know, power, and I'm going to show everyone how it's done and trick all of the people.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if Alex is just following that, you know, that grand tradition of being, oh, I'm such a sad guy.
And he's got the face for it. I got to give him that. What a face. What a great face.
Oh, absolutely. It looks like a cartoon character.
He really does.
Can you draw a hairy sausage cartoon character and make him sad?
That's Alex Horn.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to move on. This next segment would normally be games, but we don't have games yet, so
no, that's
we'll,
all right.
We'll just pretend that we're playing games.
Yay, I can't lose.
Yay. So for the games, we'll have Factor fan fiction, which I think is something that I made up in New York. I think.
Excellent.
I was like, you know, these boys are really out here just saying shit. What are they doing?
So the idea with that one is that we're like, here is something completely unhinged.
Yep.
That is about the Taskmaster universe.
Yep.
Is it unhinged from Alex and Greg, or is it unhinged from the mind of one of the fan creatures?
Right. Like, all right. This next quote is from Greg Davis, and then you just read something completely, you know, like you said, unhinged, and it's like fact or fanfic. Which one was it? You can never know.
Because, you know, there's a lot of I think we've seen that a lot, where people would be reading a you know, piece of fan fiction, mm-hmm. and they're reading through it and going, well, that's bonkers. Obviously, someone who's writing this has made it up, and you'll find out that generally the most bonkers things are things that actually did happen or yeah. were mentioned.
Yep. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm really glad you don't have any prepared, because I bet I do really badly.
Yeah, I think like the banter section, or not the introductory, that was a word that I said out of my mouth.
The Alex introductions.
The Alex introductions are like the most unhinged. I love, and my favorite part of those is when Greg like loses his composure halfway through and he has to like cover his mouth with his hand.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Greg has written these at some point in the past.
And he completely
forgot. May have forgotten. Yeah, exactly. He forgets them, sees them come up on the auto cue and goes, oh no, am I going to say that? Yes, I'm going to say that. And he's horrified by his own written thing and giggling through it. Meanwhile, Alex is just like white knuckling it on the throne next to him, going, oh no. Sad guy mode engage.
Yeah, it's so funny. And I admire Alex's tenacity to, I don't think he's ever done this. I mean, maybe he has like in the studio and they've cut it out, but I don't remember ever seeing him once aside from him doing his like finger wave, you know, where, you know, you know, where you just have to assume that he's saying, no, that's not. Because and sometimes he will say,
I know where you're
like,
going with this. It's like, he will always, yes, and he will never, no, but.
Yeah.
You know, Greg will say the most horrific thing and lay that down as, this is a true fact about Alex Horn.
Right.
And everyone in the audience knows, oh God, no, that's the worst thing ever. That's clearly not a thing that Alex thinks.
Yeah.
But Alex will never go, actually, no, I disagree with what you're saying there.
Yeah.
He, like you say, he'll occasionally wag his finger in a kind of like, well, not quite sort of look, or, oh, please don't, you know, follow that up with anything else.
Right.
But the man's dedication to yes and is legendary.
It really is. I aspire to eat a whole pat of butter at a wedding because somebody told me to. Like,
one day Greg will get a new story.
One day. Today is not that day. Now this is a good segue into the New York trip, which we're going to talk about next. So this is going to be the segment where we kind of talk about current events or the most recent episode. Obviously, you know, we haven't really had a most recent episode unless you count the premiere, which we won't spoil the series 19 premiere, except to say that it was amazing.
Yes.
And it's going to be a great series if the first episode is anything to go off of. But
yes,
like I said earlier, you and I were lucky enough to go to New York City for this trip, and there were about, I want to say, like, there were like 14 of us from our group that we're in. And it was a lot of fun to hang out with each other and put faces to names. There wasn't a single person in our group that I was like, I could take them or leave them, you know what I mean? Like every single person was genuinely so much fun to hang out with and talk to and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun getting together and going out for meals. And a bunch of us, you know, would split off occasionally to go to Central Park and see if we could find Greg and Alex, because we knew they were going to Central Park.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we were like, surely they've got to be here somewhere. And then we'd walk around in the freezing, freezing cold.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure how many people who weren't there understood, but there was like an absolute cold snap for exactly the days that our group and, you know, coincidentally, Alex and Greg were in New York. It got bitterly cold. And I know you're a huge fan of the cold, of course.
No. I grew up in New York, not the city, but in New York. And I've always hated the cold. And now I live in California. I'm much happier. Mm-hmm. But the night that I flew in, it was snowing and I was miserable. I was so angry. I was like, okay, let's go to this diner. I think actually it was the diner we tried to, because Greg and Alex have their names on a couple of plaques on one of the Brooklyn diners.
Yes, that's right. Brooklyn Diner. And there's two locations for Brooklyn Diner.
Yes, and we originally went to the one that didn't have their names.
Correct.
And then we did find the one that did have their names later, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is a tiny, tiny booth, let me tell you. That thing was cramped. I don't know how, if Greg and Alex like went and sat at their booth, I feel bad for them because... Holy leg room, Batman. That did not exist at that booth. But yeah, so
Greg's used to it. The man is a giant. He's, I mean, you know, normal booths are probably cramped to him.
Poor guy. I feel so bad. Yeah. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. They did a ton of interviews with just a lot of people.
Yeah.
They seem like they did like a lot of Zoom interviews, or I don't know if they're actually using Zoom these days. I don't know what the kids are using. It used to be Skype, now it's Zoom. I don't know. Whatever.
Greg and Alex are not the kids.
what are these kids up to these days?
These 40 and 50 year old British men. What are they?
Adult men, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did a lot of interviews in person and online, and so we kind of got to see some of those while we were in New York, and then some of them after we got back home and everything. And of course, they had the premiere and the Q&A, and the Q&A was just amazing. I mean, it was incredible, one, because they came to New York to do it, which... I don't know about you, but I am very thankful that they came to the States because, like, when am I going to get an opportunity to go to London, you know?
So I'm going to pop a bit of context here and go, this is the second time that they've done this. They did this March of last year, 2024.
Yeah.
And so this time it was January 2025. Guys, pick a warmer month. But the previous, you know, attempt that they'd done had been a really, really tiny venue where they were... you know, cramped, people were turned away at the door, it was all a mess. And so this time around, they had found a location, is it Town Hall, I think it was called, with 1,500 seats. You know, so that was much, much bigger location. The tickets went like hotcakes. We were in a frenzy trying to make sure that we could get all of the tickets that we needed for our group.
Yeah, but sold out within 2 hours, didn't it?
Something like that, yeah. And you know, they weren't free, but they were, you know, moderately priced. And then the scalpers came in, and scalpers, we hate them.
Yep.
But, you know, this was a much bigger location. And I think Greg and Alex themselves were just taken aback by how many people were there, and probably by the fact that the tickets sold so fast at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that happened was we all went into the theater. I'm pretty sure there were no empty seats because... I mean, if there was, like, I would have been really surprised.
Yeah.
But as far as I could tell, there wasn't any empty seats. Mm-hmm. And we watched the episode first, and then we had a little break, and then Greg and Alex came on. And so we had been sitting there for an hour, you know, maybe more if, you know, depending on what time you had gotten to the venue.
Yeah.
But when they walked on stage, they immediately got a standing ovation. Like, it just happened. And we were just like, yes, we are so happy. They hadn't even said anything. Yeah. Not a single word had come out of their mouths. And we're already giving them standing ovation. And they're just like, what is happening? Like, I don't think they realize how big they are in the States.
Yeah.
Because I think they keep getting blown away by everything that...
It's the dedication that they seem to, you know, garner is taking them, you know, back every time. It's like, you wouldn't get this for, you know, Countdown or another kind of, you know, just plain straight up quiz type show. And I think they don't realize that it's, for so many people, it's been a massive part of their lives and a really load-bearing, intrinsic, you know, part of their well-being and their happiness. And they just, they bring joy, and people want to, you know, give this back. And they've done it by coming all the way across the entire United States. We found out there were some people from, you know, up in Canada. Some of our group was from Canada. There was someone from Argentina, I think, was mentioned.
Yep.
It's like people came miles and miles from far and wide to just see them, you know, up on stage. And I think these guys might be, you know, Alex and Greg, so modest that they thought a lot of people were coming to see the first episode of the series. It wasn't for the first episode of the series,
guys. No.
It was nice, you know.
Oh, yeah,
but, but it was really to see Greg and Alex up on stage and, you know, just hear them talk and, you know, banter back and forth. And they had some, you know, tasks, you know, for the audience and stuff like that. But it was just to be there. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, our whole group was just full of really lovely people. who have self-selected into this fandom of just kind, wonderful, generous, funny people doing their kind, generous, wonderful, funny things. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think, what was I going to say? Like, the guy who was doing the interviewing for the Q&A, I think Josh, his name?
Yes.
He came out at the start, you know, to kind of give us the run of the show and tell us what was going on. The crowd went wild as soon as he appeared. Yeah. And he was like, no, 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 this is Stolen Valor. I'm not them guys. I'm just here to do the interview. We didn't care. The whole, you know, the whole audience, 1,500 people, went absolutely bat crazy for, you know, just being there and being excited and so full of excitement that this was finally happening.
Yeah.
So when Greg and Alex came out, you know, almost an hour later after a 45-minute episode and all the rest of it, we went bonkers. We went absolutely crazy. And, you know, some people should have been tired. It was freezing cold. People have been having travel issues and all the rest of it, but they made it. And they were just like, please take our love in the form of us standing up and screaming at you for, you know, a good 30 seconds.
The least we can do. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I definitely agree that, because even, and I told the group this multiple times, I kept saying, like, I forgot we get to watch the first episode of series. Like, because that's not why I'm going.
Nope.
I mean, I keep forgetting that that's like the event that was, you know, scheduled. And I'm like, I'm just going to hang out with Greg and Alex. Like, I'm excited about, you know, but I'm going to watch it eventually anyway, you know. However, I will say that is the way to watch a new episode is with a group of 1,500 taskmasters. That was amazing. That was so much fun because the way that the show is made is that you like they have the studio audience, like, I don't want to say laugh track because it's not a laugh track. It's the studio audience reactions.
Yeah, yeah.
So watching that on a huge screen with 15 other people, can you imagine? 1,500 other people was amazing because I felt like I was in the studio audience of the recording of Taskmaster, which was really cool.
So I have a theory that I think Alex, with, you know, full executive producer hat on, would have been watching the reactions so closely of ostensibly an American audience seeing an episode for the very first time without any spoilers at all, and seeing what gets laughs, what gets people excited and all the rest of it, because he's always fascinated to see what, you know, what the audience is doing, how it's reacting to things, what they're liking, what they're, he's always thinking about that. Like, you've seen, like, with his horn section shows and all the rest of it, he ran a little experiment going, hey guys, if you hear about it on this podcast, wear a yellow, you know, item of clothing. And, you know, he's always out there. He's turning everything into a game constantly. And so I have to believe that he was fascinated and taking notes to see what an American audience would make of, you know, a fresh episode of Taskmaster that no one had ever seen before.
Yeah, I think it would be so lovely to look at his notes, I think, to see one, what type of statistics he's writing down, like what stats does he care about. But yeah, I mean, I think, and I don't, this isn't a spoiler anymore because the cast has been revealed, but the one American that's on this series, I think, I mean, obviously got a huge cheer from the crowd. Yes, like,
absolutely.
Because obviously, like, he's our boy, you know, like, you come to New York and you know.
That's fine. Yeah. I get you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like otherwise we pretty much laughed at the same things that the studio audience laughed at, you know,
I think so,
for the most part. So,
I mean, you know, obviously it's the most biased sample of biased samples. Mm. These are Taskmaster super fans who have made, you know, the effort and paid the money to come and see this.
Yeah.
So they know they like Taskmaster.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for, I think there was one person in the Q&A who said, hey, I've brought my boyfriend and he doesn't really know Taskmaster. And I'm like, well, welcome.
Yeah. Welcome to the fold, my guy.
Yeah.
Enjoy the wild. Yeah. Now, you were saying that we had so much energy and excitement, and even though some of us had come from a very long way away, And, you know, it was freezing cold. Oh my gosh, so cold. Sure. Y'all, it was like negative 12 degrees Fahrenheit. It was not fun. And wind chill. Ugh, it's disgusting. Anyway, but so, and we had every
I thought it was delightful. It was snowing and I hadn't seen snow in ages. And I think I was driving up the wall on the way to that diner because I was going, this is lovely. And you're like, oh, I hate this so much.
I was miserable.
Oh, I was having so much fun.
Yeah. Good memories though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but so we'll talk about why this happened, but that night, I stayed up till 2:30 in the morning. My bedtime normally is 9 p.m. I kid you not. Like, we had so much energy.
Taking into account the time zone difference, because there's like 5 hours. Is it 5 hours time zone difference between?
Three.
Yeah. So
it would have felt like 11:30 p.m., which still is 2.5 hours past my bedtime.
For sure.
But so we got the Q&A, which was incredible. We even got them. I mean, if I should be adding myself, but like I got a personal banter section with them a little bit because they, you know, if any listener out there has seen or heard the bit where they talk about fanfic, because I'm like, why are y'all just bringing this up? Like, you are bringing this up. We didn't say anything. None of the questions that were asked, except for the Greg, can you pick Alex up, please? However it was phrased.
So delightful. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Was like nothing mentioned fanfic. And very, very early on in the Q&A, Greg was like, did you know? And we're like, brother, do we know? Don't we know? Yeah. And they were and Alex was saying like, oh, there's 867 on the website that we visited last night. And I, forgetting that you have to have an account and log in to see the actual number, was like, well, all of us were like, that's not right. Those are rookie numbers. Like, that's you're lowballing it, man. And then I forget which one of them said it, but they were like, what's the person over there shouting? And nobody. And then we all went really quiet. And I was like, 1,025. I was like, oh, there's more, are there?
Yeah.
So that was fun.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, they're just out here bringing it up, which is one of the things that I love about them so much. And and it was incredible. And during that Q&A, Greg was saying, I mean, he was like saying stuff about, he was like calling out a fic title and stuff. And he was like, oh, you're the person that wrote Daddy's Little Screamer, are you? And I was like, it wasn't me, but I don't know off the top of my head who it was. Turns out they're part of our little group online. Yeah. We did know who it was in the end. But, and then he said something like, oh, you're on Seth Meyers right now. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And to be fair to me, he was a couple hours off because Seth Meyers wouldn't be airing until midnight 40, you know, a few hours later. So I was like, what is he talking about? Man, did we figure out what he was talking about? But anyway,
were you gonna say there's so much context to be going on here. It's like going, okay, so Greg during the, you know, the Q&A brought up the fan fiction and he was like, you know, here's, you know, the name of a fan fiction. We had no idea where this had come from. We had we knew that it was written by one of our people. We knew the website it was from. We probably know more about it than we ought to do. But we didn't know why Greg was bringing it up. And then he mentioned this, you know, Seth Meyers, you know, show, which we had already known had been recorded the day before. Because a bunch of us had tried desperately through a comedy of errors and, you know, all kinds of shenanigans to try and get tickets to see the taping of the Seth Meyers show. Because, again, in 2014 or 2024, they had also gone on Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers seems to be a huge fan of, you know, British comedy scene or Britcom as we know it. And so we know that they had been there and recorded something, you know, the day before the show. And it wasn't until later that we're like, oh, we now understand why fan fiction was on Greg's mind.
Yeah.
A mere less than 24 hours later.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, with our little group, I mean, we, you know, the 14 of us, there were a lot of emotional highs and emotional lows, and I won't get into all of it, but if you know, you know. But like, you know, there was like, you know, some people got what they wanted, and some people missed out on opportunities, you know, okay. and all this kind of stuff. So it was like, oh, I'm really excited that, like, we got to go see them live. We got to go see them do the Q&A, you know, but they didn't have time for individual selfies after. They didn't do the stage door after.
No,
you know?
So I couldn't. There was 1,500 of us, you know. It's like, you just run the math as you're like, okay, if you got, you know, a minute with each person.
Oh, way too long. I mean, Alex even said, he said, there are 1,500 of you. If each of you took 5 seconds for a selfie, we would be here for over 2 hours, and we just can't do that. And I was like, you know, the numbers don't lie. I mean, he's right. Unfortunately, as much as
I'm not
going to
argue
love
numbers with Alex Horn, except if it's how many fanfics are on the
or how tall he is. Because surely he can't be 6'2", 5'4" at least.
Got to believe one of them.
Yeah, it's one of the two. Nothing in between. But yeah, and so we, you know, we collectively all went back to our hotels, and most of us had been staying in one hotel.
Yes.
And we were lucky enough to have a TV in the lobby downstairs. And so we all went back to our hotel, and this would have been, I don't know, 10 p.m., 10:30, something like that. And we knew that them on Seth was going to come on at like 12:30-ish. And so we all were like, let's just stay up and watch, you know, live, like, together, because we're all like hype, we're all riding this high of like, they were there, we got to see them, like, do you remember when they said this thing or they did this thing, like, oh my gosh, this is like incredible and wild.
And simultaneously we were like going, we know the name of this fan fiction, who wrote this fan fiction, and we're like scrolling, you know, on our phones to try and figure out who it was that wrote it. I confess, I screenshotted the stats of that fan fiction to be like, okay, how many hits has this got? Because if this is going to get mentioned somewhere, are they suddenly going to blow up? And so I'm finding out who it is, realizing that there's someone from our little group who's not, you know, in New York with us, and messaging them frantically going, hey, if you want to hide, we've got super legitimate insider information that you're going to get mentioned somewhere. So if you want to hide, hide now. Unfortunately, time zones, and they were sleeping soundly somewhere across the Atlantic, so they missed their opportunity, but thankfully they were totally okay with it, and it turned out they weren't the only one.
Little did we know that more than because for us, for our little group, I think specifically, we are overjoyed and so excited whenever they mention fanfic, because it's just ridiculous that they do it in the first place, and it's so funny when they do it, and we're like we know that person, that, like, they, you know, I think out of all of the fanfic they've ever officially mentioned, I think there's only like one person that we don't personally know wrote it.
Yes, and like they are
one
from
or two.
The origin, they're like from the old times.
Yeah, like,
you know,
years
the
and
time.
Years ago. Yeah. And so we were all like really excited, and we were staying up in the lobby, and Seth Meyers comes on, and we're like, okay, like, this is exciting. Like, here are the boys, and we're all trying very hard to be quiet because we want to hear what they're
nicely.
Saying. And we don't want to miss anything. And so then they go on.
I think this is the moment where something like weird, I had like a sixth sense, and I'm like, I'm going to record this with my phone,
which makes
no sense, because obviously they're going to release the episode, and, you know, they're going to do clips and all the rest of it. If, you know, fun stuff is mentioned, you know, as Alex and Greg are there, but I'm like, no, I'm on my phone, and I'm like at a really sharp angle to the screen, and I'm just recording the screen on my phone, and I don't even know why I'm doing it.
I'm so glad you did, because they bring up, you know, they talk a little bit with Seth, and then Seth brings up fanfic first, I think.
They're talking about being invited to weddings.
Yeah.
I think Greg and Alex are going, we've been invited to like at least 3 weddings, and, you know, they're going, oh yeah, we'll turn up even if they don't want us to, it'll be great. And then Seth goes, but it's not just weddings, is it? there's been some fan fiction, and Greg's like, yes.
Greg was so excited.
His face lights up, and I'm so ready for this.
And all of us are freaking out collectively, because I mean, out of the 14 of us, like, how many of us actively write Taskmaster fanfic? A good chunk of us.
Oh yeah,
probably most. good chunk. Yeah. And so we're all like, oh my gosh, they're doing this. Like, are you kidding me? And then Seth's like, oh, did you bring any to read out? And Alex is like, I know he did. And I'm like, and then grabs a physical piece of paper. And I'm like, bro, you did not print out fanfic, our fanfic that we wrote, and read it live on, well, I guess it's not live, but like read it out on national television.
Yep, in front of a live studio audience.
Oh my gosh. So at this point, we're kind of like, well, I guess it's good that y'all didn't get in to see the recording, because that would have been
awkward. Because, like we mentioned before, like, we tried to get in, and it was myself and one of our other group was in like the last 10 people who could have gotten into a seat. And I was like number 6, and a friend, you know, from our group was number 7. And they picked 1, 2, 3... and 4 people to go in. So I was literally just 2 people away from being in. And I swear, I think I could have handled it. I think I could have kept a lid on it and not just fainted in the seats, but I'll never know for sure.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I think I am personally, like, selfishly very glad that neither of you went, because can you imagine having to, like, there's no way you would have not told us that.
I know.
You know, because then the whole thing would have not been a surprise. I mean, it would have been, we would have been like shaking you, being like, give us details. What exactly did they
say? Yeah, it would have been me and our other friend coming out of that looking like we've just, you know, walked off a war field, you know, something like that. Shell shock on our faces, just being like, did that just happen? You know, we would have been spiraling, not knowing what, because we would have been on our phones being like, hey guys, we got in, it's really exciting, oh my goodness, it's about to be them. And then it would have been radio silence for the entire length of time that Alex and Greg were there, because obviously nothing else matters, we're just paying attention to the guys.
Yeah.
And then we would have been stuck, we wouldn't have known what to do. It would have been, I think me and the other person would have just like hidden in our rooms and be like, oh, we can't talk to anyone, sorry. Amanda's not home right now.
Yeah, so I guess it did kind of work out probably for the best, but
very much so.
Yeah. And that, so the, and then Greg's like, yeah, I'll read it for you, and he just starts reading. I think he doesn't name drop the titles first, does he? I think he starts reading first.
He names the first one and then goes, let me read it to you. And he's like, and watch Alex, because he gets so uncomfortable because he doesn't like being touched. And of course, Alex is like the picture of uncomfortable. And Seth is like asking, oh, are you feeling uncomfortable? He's like, I'm feeling uncomfortable with this being read on American television, which I think is the most telling part. Because American television is a world that he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he dabbled obviously with the, sadly, you know, not so great, you know, Taskmaster US, but that would just underline his lack of awareness of what you can or can't do, you know, with an American audience. You know, he didn't know. So I just love the bit where he's like literally grabbing hold of Seth's desk
as if
he needs this to hold himself steady while his, you know, experience is happening, and Greg is leaning further and further and further over towards his chair.
unnecessary, honestly. I mean, and
degree, apparently.
Well, yeah, it is interesting, because so far, every other time that fanfic has been brought up by one of the two of them, it's always been Alex. And so we're like, suddenly Alex is like, oh, I'm not comfortable.
Is it
talking about this on American television?
We've certainly seen some like outtakes and stuff like that where Greg has been, you know, like when Frankie brought the fan art in, and you
can see that
Greg was kind of leaning back in his throne and he's thinking about it for a second and he goes, do you know? And he goes, do you know, there's been a distressing amount of fanfic written about us. And you're like, have you been looking since, Greg? What's going on? Because, you know, it was Alex who brought it up in the first place and horrified Greg, who just yes-anded him during the podcast and ran with it and had his whole mind blown, I think, by the fact that this even existed.
Yep.
And that was years and years ago now. Mm-hmm. So he's been on a journey, has our Greg.
Yeah. How far we've come, indeed.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. But yeah, and so, you know, he just casually reads out a couple of snippets, yeah, and we collectively lose our minds because, yep, there were two of our group that were in the lobby,
yeah,
that got their fix either read out loud or name dropped, which was incredible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the other three that he name dropped were all from our little fan group, yep, which was ridiculous. And so, and of course this is almost, it's like 1 a.m. at this point, and we're like messaging everybody. We're like, okay, which fic, like, who wrote this one? It's this person. Okay, we got a message. And so we're like all, yeah, oh, we're all on our phones afterwards, and we're all just like, yeah, did that actually really just happen? Like, what is going on? And yeah, then of course, you know, now it's up on YouTube and it's up on Instagram, and mm-hmm, and the days afterwards was so much fun because I've watched that video like at least once a day. I mean, literally, if I am like starting to get in a bad mood, I'm like, hold on, let me pull up YouTube. I really should just download it on my phone at this point because it's how often, yeah, I've watched it. Oh, but goodness. And you know, the comments on the videos are so funny because it's like, can you imagine being one of those writers? And we're like, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be wild if you were just like all in a room with your writer friends together and
crazy,
just like collectively
crazy,
freaked out? That'd be like so wild.
Yep, yep. I mean, that would never happen. That's too crazy for real life. That sounds like fiction itself.
Oh, that's definitely somebody wrote that. A fan fact or fanfic.
No. If we wrote that into a fan fiction, people would be like, it seems a bit unrealistic, yeah, guys. You know, tone, yeah, it down a bit.
Yep. So I honestly, out of the entire trip, I think that was my favorite part. Yeah. Was just sitting in a room of our people having, yeah, our stuff getting called out on Seth Meyers. It was ridiculous.
I mean, like you said, we were already riding the high of, mm-hmm, attending, you know, the premiere, the Q&A, being in that room of 1500 other, you know, Taskmaster fans screaming their throats hoarse, mm-hmm, with excitement and happiness and joy, and seeing all of this new stuff, and Alex and Greg running up and down the aisles to try and provide people with selfie opportunities.
It was
because
so sweet, honestly.
They know they can't stage door, but they were trying to give us something anyway, and yeah, that, you know, that desperate attempt to give us that personal connection.
I know.
They're too good to us, you know.
They really are. I mean, this, yeah, is definitely something we'll be talking about as the podcast goes on, because they are, yeah, so good to us, and I personally just feel very, very lucky, mm, that this is, you know, the fandom that I'm in, because they are lovely and we are lovely. The fans are,
yes,
well, at least our little group. I don't go on Reddit or anything, but
I'm sure they're lovely there too.
Yeah. So that was New York, and now everybody's home. And I think, yeah, was it yesterday they dropped that Instagram video that they were just
what is
like,
even here, time anymore? It's hard to keep up. It's like, yeah, ever since there's been little bits and bobs, like that people posting that they, you know, they got a selfie with Greg when they were like running around somewhere, they met them in the park. Mm-hmm. There was the whole portrait that they got done in Central Park, and then one minute they're going, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, my wife says it's terrible, blah 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 blah, and then Greg is posting up on his Instagram saying, if anyone has any problems with this, you've got me to answer to. And we're all like, yeah, sat there going, bro, like, you said it was crap. What's yeah, happening? And it's definitely, you know, it's a thing. And you know, we had a look at it and we compared it, probably shouldn't, to some of the work that, you know, our fan artist friends have been making, and going,
yeah,
guys, you, if you want your portraits done, you just let us know, you know, we'll, yeah, we'll help you out.
Yeah, you should have just gone to us. I don't know what, yeah, to tell you.
And then, like you said, the official, like, Taskmaster account even, mm-hmm, posted this like, Instagram-style, you know, video, which, if a fan had made that video, no one would have blinked. It'd be like, oh yeah,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
someone's, yeah, collected a bunch of, you know, clips and photographs from, you know, Alex and Greg, mm-hmm, and put it together and made it look all lovey-dovey and like they're going out on dates. Yep. No, this is official. Yep. This is real stuff that they released, and they planned all of it, and they're posing for photographs, and they're like doing little videos next to each other, and we lost our gosh dang minds again. Mm, you know, it's, yep, just a constant sequence of losing our minds.
Yeah. It's really fun, honestly.
It's fantastic. It's like you wake up and you go, what the heck happened now?
I know. I mean, it's so nice being in a fandom that what I would say is not dead. Where, you know,
very much alive.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, for one thing, like the show is actively still going on, so that definitely helps. But
may that continue.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, they just keep giving us new content, which is awesome. Yeah. And I would love to find out at some point, like there are like two parts to what I want to find out. The first part is they have to have someone in charge of, like, okay, we're gonna do this for the socials. Who is that person?
Social manager, yeah.
Right, like, we're gonna do the Harry Met Sally thing. Who signed off on this? Like, you know, and then, but then, so the second part of this is, because when we went to the Q&A, and Greg brought up fanfic, or maybe it was on Seth Meyers that he said this, but Greg said, like, I read them to him, and we're all like, you do not. You do not go to this website and read fanfic to, like, you don't have time for that. Like, you don't. But
he also said that it was the sexiest thing he'd ever been involved in. And I sat there going, what? We'll take that. Thank you.
You are welcome, sir. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I would love to, because surely it is not him going on this website and being like scrolling through. Surely it's not. So what I want to know is who is doing it, because someone is doing it. Like, these are real fics written by real people.
And some of the bits that were quoted, and you noticed this yourself, are not from like the opening paragraphs or something. They're from the very last paragraphs on an ongoing story.
Yep.
You know, so either they've read the whole thing, which can run to many, many thousands of words. And even Alex was like, some of these are 20,000 words. It's like going, oh, honey, you don't know the half of it. But someone has, you know, read through a whole bunch of these and is like picked out paragraphs for Greg to seductively read, you know, and whisper into Alex's ear on television for the American audience from various places. And I think we'd had a look at it and we worked out that the ones that got called out, the five fic titles that got called out, had either been posted or updated in a relatively recent window. So like in the last maybe 2 weeks or something like that. I think maybe week and a half, 2 weeks. So they maybe didn't, you know, scroll back a lot, you know, when they were looking for something.
Yeah.
And the other thing that it seems to be is they go after, like suggestive titles, I think, is something that they enjoy. Although definitely there are some outliers there where you're like, this doesn't seem to match their pattern. What is their criteria for selecting these things? It's truly fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And I know that our group had a very long, in-depth discussion in person about this online when we went back home about, you know, like some of these titles, like why did they pick that one? Because like you said, it was kind of an outlier and it's like, it's not like Daddy's Little Screamer, like easy.
Gonna get laughs. It's a Greg, you know, catnip that one is. He's gonna be like all about that. Yeah.
Right. But like Big Strong Hero, Jester and the King, neither of those necessarily are like, immediately you hear it and you're like, haha, that's hilarious, right? Like, I mean, like maybe Jester and the King, but like you know, I don't know, maybe it's all relative, but it's so interesting. And I truly do want to know who is actively going to this website and picking these fics and typing them up and printing them out so that they can read them.
Is it someone on the Taskmaster or the Avalon site, or is this something that, you know, Seth Meyers set up on his site?
I don't know.
We just don't know for that one.
Yeah, we don't. So if I ever get to figure that out, I mean, if this is like my top question at this point is like, who, and I swear, if Greg is like, no, I do it, I'd be like, I'm not, I don't believe you.
Well, that's the thing that perhaps, you know, slightly less focused, shall we say, fans of the show might not be aware of is like every single thing that Greg and Alex says, you have to take with the largest bucket of salt that you can possibly mm-hmm. carry, you know, yeah. possibly two buckets of salt if you can get them, because they're liars who lie in, you know, as long as whatever it is that they say is going to be funny, they'll go with funny over the truth every single time.
Yeah.
So if you ask them straight up, you know, who's the one who read through this? If yeah. Greg thinks it's funnier to say that it's him, he'll absolutely say that. You cannot pin down these guys.
No, it's it's so frustrating, but it's also very, very fun.
Yes, it's part of the toolbox and part of like this weird morphing that they do between what is fact, what is all of the different kinds of, you know, canon and stuff like that. It's just yeah. fascinating to try and play with it.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I think we're going to wrap this section up. So, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on our pilot episode of the podcast.
Thank you, TK.
And helping us get through it. I'm going to keep you on here, which I don't know, I probably won't do for future guests, just to go through our little last bit here. Mm-hmm. So we'll say goodbye to the guest.
Thank you very much for having me.
For coming. Woo. Dun, 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 dun. All right, and then suggesting fan work. So my suggestion is the 5 shoutouts from Seth Meyers. Go read. Yeah. Okay, so there were 5. So there was Big Strong Hero. There's My Good Boy. That was the first one mentioned, I believe, on Seth.
Yes. And that's, you know, somewhat suggestive.
See all. 1, 2, 3. Oh yeah, make Alex finish. Your time starts now.
That's right. And Alex quite uncharacteristically says, "We thought about that for a task." Yeah. I'm like going, Alex Horn, you're not it's quite risky for you.
Yeah. So yeah, go check out those 5 fics. What else? Yeah, that was the pilot for the Transformative Taskmaster podcast. We are on Blue Sky. We are on... what else are we on? I'm not on the socials.
You might do a slightly tighter version of this.
we're online somewhere. Oh, actually, I have...
Where you get your pod fix.
Well, yeah. We'll be on Spotify. I don't know if this will be on Spotify, but we'll be on Spotify. We're on Tumblr. We are on the website. The website. We are on tftaskmaster.uk for all of your links and updates, which we will do soon. And we are also on email. So if you want to email us with any fan-made recommendations, podcasts, suggestions, or really anything else you'd like to say, I started to say RE the other day and somebody was like, "What are you talking about?" RE as in like the email thing, you know, like regarding like, oh, we talked about this but we didn't go too in depth on it. Challenge accepted. Tell us what you want us to go in depth on, because that's literally why we're here.
And we can
and we will, and that's a threat. And if you want to reach out for anything, email us at fans@tftaskmaster.uk and we will take your words into consideration.
Are you playing a Radio 4 panel game?
But anyway, I gotta figure out like an outro. Yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Transformative Taskmaster. You can find us on our website at tftaskmaster.uk, which has links to our socials, previously recorded episodes, and updates. If you have any fan-made recommendations, suggestions for the podcast, or anything else you'd like to say, email us at fans@tftaskmaster.uk.
Set outro video. No, I don't have that.
Wow.